Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, let's get right back to it. Roy Wood Jr. in studio ahead of his show at Zona Rosa. You're going to be throwing out the first pitch at the Royals game tomorrow. You just told me.
Try not to bounce that pitch.
Get it over the plate.
I bounced a couple in my
day. Have you practiced?
No. Here's the you know the scam of first pitches.
Yeah.
They don't let you warm up. Everybody else is out there in the pen,
yeah,
throwing, and you got to warm up to throw it from 60 feet. I'm coming in hot dog in hand, and some guy just hands you a ball. Here, go out there in front of everybody. By the way, this is being broadcast on simulcast on MLBTV.com, and MLB Network, so put it up and slander it.
What's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you when you're working?
What, stand up?
Any of it.
Ooh. I got offered to be paid in cocaine at a show in Dayton, Alabama.
Why does it seem like that's not that rare in comedy, though? I mean, is that really something that
Tuesday
doesn't happen much here?
Doing a show for drug dealers is not uncommon, especially in the early days of, you know, how I was doing stand-up and everything. But, like, okay, so here's the thing. There are sometimes there are shows that you do, and I'll just say the South, because my only scope of knowledge of this is in the South. Let's say you sell drugs, right? And the police take your drugs, like some dirty cops or whatever. They don't take you to jail.
Yeah.
But they take your drugs and they take your money. How do you restart your drug empire with no money and no product? A lot of guys that I've worked for, some guys that I've worked for, they'll just promote a comedy show or a rap concert or a music concert, and then you pre-sell tickets. You take the money from the pre-sale, you buy a re-up, you sell the drugs before the concert, and you pay your talent with the profits.
Oh my God. Oh my.
So they were just cutting out the middleman.
It's a brilliant strategy to get yourself front money to get back in the game.
Tell me about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And
I was not paid in cocaine.
Were you nervous? That was actually the latest gig where they... No, were you nervous? I mean, you were... You know, that is one of those gigs where I feel like as a comedian, everyone is nervous.
Yeah, I was nervous, but it was more from a place of not wanting to fail in front of my heroes. I'm like, because here's the thing. You're performing, right? And as you're performing, you're looking up into the audience just to connect.
Yeah.
But every time you look up, you see a different famous person or a different prominent journalist, and you're scanning their face for approval.
Is Anderson Cooper laughing? Cooper laughing?
Joke, joke, joke. You look up, and then you see Lester Holt, and I'm like, no! And I felt like Lester Holt knew what was happening, and he gave me that. You remember the Karate Kid? Mr. Miyagi gave him that nod at
just
the end.
Just a little no smile, no expression. Just
yeah, Lester Holt gave me like the black man. The ancestors are proud. Like, he gave me that nod, and I was like,
awesome.
Yes, Lester Holt thinks I'm cool. Then I keep talking. Then I look up again, and it's like Caitlyn Jenner, straight faced. Look down, joke, joke, joke. Look up again. Kellyanne Conway laughing out of her seat. I'm
right.
Like,
wow. You're like, wait, what?
What are you even doing here?
Right.
Oh, you like me. Okay, cool. Wait, what's the next joke?
Right.
I'm like looking down again.
Who makes you laugh?
I thoroughly enjoy Wanda Sykes' new comedy special.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. Some More has had a good one as well. It's weird because I'll watch a stand-up special of someone I know, and you're just breaking down jokes. And
right.
It's like the way you listen to radio when you travel. You're not listening to the jock for entertainment. So, well, why did he not say that? And he should have extended that break a little longer. But, you know, those are the people I enjoy. Bill Burr makes me laugh so hard.
And I was hoping you would say Bill Burr. Roy, I went to that show here at Starlight. I was in the front row with my son. I have never laughed like I have laughed, but you laugh with your hands over your face because you feel so bad that you are laughing.
Yes.
And you talked about earlier throwing dynamite, you know, up on stage, dancing around some
topics.
His
whole show.
He throws dynamite straight out of the audience.
His whole show. That last special, and he's talking about how women don't go to WNBA games.
Oh,
and
my God.
And it's like, and you know there's holes in the theory of the joke, but with Burr, he's so funny that you know it's coming from a guy that's uninformed, so it only makes
it
better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. He had a joke, and it never made it to a special. I wish people could see their favorite comedians on a Wednesday night in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like, the process. I'm obsessed with the process of how you build jokes and build material.
Yeah.
And Bill Burr had a joke about not wanting to bake a pie for his wife's family. For Thanksgiving, for the fear of approval that they his wife's black.
His wife's black, correct.
So he's a white guy baking a
pie. He looks like a skinhead.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes. Well, he looks like a reformed skinhead. He looks like a skinhead. He's like, yeah, I used to be in that life, but you know what?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about your Lord and Savior.
Like, and he holds that till the end because he does so many jokes about race. And then he says, and my wife is black. And he goes, oh, you didn't see that coming, did you?
He looks like he should be frontman for Black Flag or something. Yeah. It's like, So this came in on the text line. We've talked before about the differences between working with Jon Stewart and Trevor Noah. But somebody on the text line asked, and I think this is a great question, what are the different lessons that you learned from each of them?
Jon Stewart, who I didn't get to work under the show, but we've worked together a lot since that time, just been able to interact. Jon Stewart, I learned, don't be afraid to say the thing, which with the correspondence dinner, if I'm in that room and I don't say what people are already thinking about these officials.
Yeah, you got to go there.
I'm disrespecting the craft. Now, how to say it and how to say it with a smile, I learned from Trevor Noah.
Okay.
Jon Stewart don't smile. Jon Stewart don't grin.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart's just going to say it. Trevor will smile while saying it and make you forget that the joke is about your malfeasance. Yeah. That you're not, like, there was a joke I said in the room. I said, everyone in this room is the best at what they do. You all are all in this room because you all are the best at not getting anything done.
Right. Never a truer statement said.
Yeah, it's like you're all politicians, and whatever side you vote for, we can agree they don't get anything done. Barely anything gets done. It's a lot of talking about what we're going
to
do.
But how long does it take to get to the point where you just throw it out there and you let the joke land where it may and you move right on? I mean, that's, to me, that is, there's a bravery in that, but there's a craft in that.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this during the break. So many people think they can stand up on stage and tell a couple of jokes and be funny. Oh my God, it is so much more than that.
Yeah.
It's education and it's writing and it's understanding what is happening in the world and all of those things to be good, to be really good at what you do.
It is definitely the most beautiful thing I've ever been able to do, but also the most maddening because the jokes are never done, the jokes are never perfect. There's always going to be somebody that has a problem with something that you say, no matter how centrist you think it is, no matter how agnostic you think the thought is, somebody's just always going to feel a certain way about stuff. Also, just being a part of The Daily Show just makes certain people just go, no. When you don't realize that The Daily Show is just 5% of who I am as a person and a performer, my stand-up is way more in the middle.
Sure. You ever felt worried for your safety in a way that we talked about, what was it, about a year ago? Where people were doing crazy things at comedy shows. It never occurred to me to have like security. Yeah. Yeah.
No. And my jokes aren't divisive enough to warrant that. And if somebody wants to start some mess, yo, I'm going straight to club security, man. I'm not finna stand up here and argue with you.
Don't mess with it.
There's no comedian you love because he can fight. Yeah. So I'm not going to be up here. Man, that's my favorite comedian. He be whooping ass. Like, right. This ain't UFC. I'm not going to. I walk off the stage and call an Uber, bro. Like, I'm not here to argue with you in Zona Rosa. I will walk out this comedy club and go see Spider-Man.
Can you describe the moment when you walk off stage to an audience that is just on their feet?
I didn't even know that I'd gotten a standing ovation at the Correspondents' Dinner until that night when I watched it, because I was just so in my head the whole time.
Yeah.
Just don't mess up, don't mess up. Next joke, next joke. What the hell is Kellyanne Conway doing here? Next joke, next joke.
Still laughing. She's still laughing.
Is that Chrissy Teigen? Okay, next joke. Yeah. Next joke. Like, you know, so I really can't. It's cool when people are cool with your thoughts and the way you see the world. That I'm appreciative of, but it's not something I really gave a lot of, have ever given a lot of thought to. What I appreciate more is when people post my clips online, because to me, that's something that I really appreciate, because it's your social media channel. You could put out anything you want, and this is funny enough that you felt other people should see it. That's, in a way, is a bit of an ovation. It's definitely a way. It's definitely a high sign of respect that you would share something that I've said with your audience.
That's why a lot of us got into radio, especially the music guys, because it was like, okay, I want to find the next cool thing and I want to tell everybody about it. And now we all get to do that. So when they do it with your stuff, that's more than approval.
Yeah.
Can you get me Barack Obama's autograph?
Probably not. I couldn't even make small talk with him when we did the Father's Day thing for Fatherly. It was a great conversation. It was dope to be a part of. But the president's time is his time. And all you have, like the White House, you have from 3:13 until 3:27. At 3:26, you will get a flash that you have 1 minute, and then we will cut the feed.
Wow.
And they did. They just tell you straight up, we're not saying bye. We're just clicking leave meeting.
He's out. He's out.
That's it.
B.O. has left the building.
Yeah, but nah, he was cool. Biden was cool at the event. You know, it was real cool on the low that I discovered at the Correspondents' Dinner? Jill Biden. I was sitting next to Jill Biden the whole time. We was talking about barbecue and football. Like,
good.
It's like the stuff where I'm like, you're talking to a person, I'm just going, why won't you mention any of this on camera?
Right.
Why don't you be human?
Like, people would respect you. So if you, like, she's talking about power, eye, offset, she's talking football formations.
Yeah.
Not like, what's your favorite team? She's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, you run the spread. But the spread, I'm like, do you know your husband's approval rating would go through the roof?
$50 on the Bills last night.
You said that they should run a pro set with two tight ends.
Man, enjoy your time in Kansas City. I know your time here is limited. I know you're throwing out the first pitch. You're going to do some big, slick stuff. But welcome to our town.
Thank you all.
Hope
thank you
love
all for
it
having
as
me.
As much as we do.
It's a good time.
Thank you so much. That was Roy Wood Jr. Go look at his stuff online. Repost it. John Grayson, thank you for sitting in so much.
Pleasure.
913-586-7798. We'll be back with much more Dane and Parks straight ahead. Welcome back to Dana and Parks, about 40 minutes away from the airing of the grievances. It is Festivus Friday, brought to you by Greenway Ford out of Raytown. It is an old new day, a new way at Greenway Ford. Get those grievances ready. Just don't text them in right now because I can't scroll back and find them. This is funny and isn't going to work. Canada will start putting health warnings on individual cigarettes. It will be the first country to do so. So when you light up and start puffing away in Canada, on the cigarette, it's going to say, this could kill you.
Will it include the fact that the ink is probably toxic as well, or is that just going to be a sidebar?
It will say, tobacco smoke harms children, cigarettes cause leukemia, which I feel like cancer would be a shorter word, and poison in every puff.
Leukemia.
We're running out of room on the lucky. The new tobacco products appearance, packaging, and labeling regulations will be part of that government's continued effort to help adults who smoke quit. I don't understand how labeling individual cigarettes with this is bad for you. It's just going to cost a lot of money to do that. And I mean, people that smoke are still going to smoke.
I go back to the labeling in Europe where they put actual graphic photos of a severed leg saying you could have your foot amputated if you smoke cigarettes. And their smoking rates are still really high. They just take out that picture, throw it away, and light them up.
All right, something very weird is going on in Olathe. Not necessarily looking to make this a topic, but if you're a fisherman, what the hell is going on? Have you heard about this out at Cedar Lake? There was supposed to be a fishing derby this weekend, right? Take the kids, going to be a good time. The photos are heartbreaking. Channel 9 threw the chopper up in the air over what is going on at this lake. It is thousands and thousands and thousands of thousands of floating dead fish.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, when there's plastic bags in the ocean that are being swept up onto the beach, it looks like that, but it's fish.
It looks like a bomb went off in the lake, killing every single piece of wildlife within miles, right? So this is from Channel 9, but it's all over. You'll find the video and the photos of the dead fish everywhere. And my God, can you imagine the smell? The Olathe Parks and Rec Department, along with the Kansas Department of Wildlife, are investigating what they call a fish kill impacting portions of Cedar Lake. Numerous fish are dead. That's an understatement. According to photos submitted by a KNBC viewer, as of right now, the city believes this is a naturally occurring phenomenon and there is no risk to public health. Quoting here, the city has been working alongside the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks to try and figure out the issue, and all indications are this is a naturally occurring phenomenon posing no risk to public health. What is a naturally occurring fish kill phenomenon? Because
I mean, are they blaming it on the season and the change of the temperatures of the water? I'm not familiar with Cedar Lake. Is it in the middle of a golf course?
I've been to Bass Pro Shop once, and it's because my Tesla ran out of battery. I have no idea here. All I know is it looks like a bomb went off in this lake and killed every single fish within miles.
Because I could see, like, Shadow Glen is in the middle of a golf course, but it's still a large lake. I could see, say, in high fertilizer season, having a mass death of fish.
I don't know.
I wouldn't
because
necessarily call that natural.
No, but we have koi, and I know maybe it's hard to kill koi. And with all of the golf course runoff and chemicals, those koi come back every year. Listen to this from the Wildlife Department. This is not funny. I'm sorry. Those around Cedar Lake may notice a smell as the event runs its course. We will continue to monitor the situation in coming days. Can you imagine?
Oh, and the hotter it gets, the worse the smell.
Woo! Out at that lake. As a result, the Olathe Fishing Derby that was scheduled for this weekend has been postponed. Not only does it smell like death out there, there aren't any fish left.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty boring next weekend with nothing to catch.
913-586-7798. When we get back, the lifeguard shortage continues. This is a huge lake weekend for so many of you. What about the pools? Why don't kids want these jobs? The jobs that when you and I were growing up were the premium jobs of the summer. They can't find anyone to fill the jobs. And this will be affecting various pools and lakes around town.
Yeah, it impacts beaches.
No getting around it. We are smack dab in the middle of the summer. And some of your favorite spots might be closed. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks, 30 minutes away from Festivus Friday. Stick with us. That's coming straight ahead.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. Is it going to rain again? I know we're going to talk about summer here coming up and the pool, but my God.
I did wash my truck this morning and then looked at the forecast and I was like, really?
What is going on with the rain? Now, I will say this. Channel 9 has a little scroll going on right now and they're talking about the weather, but it is cities that are not super close to where we are, Sam.
Well, it's blue skies here in Mission right now.
Yeah.
By the way, we were talking about the fish death at the lake in Olathe. A couple of people on the text line are saying that it might be a massive algae bloom. It will deplete the oxygen levels in the water.
Got it.
In turn, fish will die.
Like one of the warnings, by the way, is by Callao, C-A-L-L-A-O, which looks like Caillou, which I refuse to say, with wind gusts 50 to 50 miles an hour. And so
half inch hail.
If you know where that area is, I don't even know that the, I've literally, they're talking about towns I have never heard of. And I've been here a very long time. And I'm not saying it's not important if you live in that town. I'm just saying, I feel like if I've never heard of this city, it can't be that close to where we're sitting, or I feel like I would have heard of it. Anyway, pull up the radar if you're curious. It looks like way north and way west, if that makes sense. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. We are 30 minutes away from Festivus Friday, brought to you by Greenway Ford. This story comes to us from CNN, but boy, I've seen it on Channel 9. Speaking of Channel 9. As people flock to the beaches, lakes, and pools to celebrate the unofficial start of summer this week, the swimmers are ready to go, but the lifeguards are not. At least that is what some parks departments and agencies around the country are saying as they scramble to find and keep lifeguards for the season. And it gets into various cities. Obviously, in New York, it takes 1,400 lifeguards to keep the beaches and the pools open. We don't have that number of need here, but I think we have the same percentage lacking in kids that want to be a lifeguard. And I don't know where this is coming from. I know that the salaries have gone up. And if you are 17, 18, 20-year-old, whatever it is, like home from college, on break from high school, these used to be the primo jobs. When we were growing up, like I remember, and first of all, you had to go through a lot of training and for good reason. And I don't know if the training is as stringent now. I know that a lot of the companies that are in charge of hiring will pay for your training if you want to be
part of the package.
A lifeguard. It's part of the package. The problem is with so few lifeguards right now, there are places around town that are saying they will struggle to remain open. What is it? I'm so sick of blaming everything on post-pandemic.
Well, this isn't really a post-pandemic issue because we had this issue pre-pandemic. And something about the younger teenage job that's just not as attractive anymore. And I think that that has to be the real driver because there's just fewer and fewer kids that are of age to work who want to get out and work. And if the ones that do are maybe being discouraged by their parents,
sure,
play a sport, you know, do extra education stuff in the summer. I don't know what they're doing to fill their time, but it seems to me like the trend is that less and less 15, 16, 17-year-olds are wanting to get out there and get a job. They want to go hang out with their friends instead.
So this is from our friends over at KCUR, and then we'll take your calls and your thoughts on this as we head into Festivus Friday. 913-586-7798. Kansas City, Missouri pools need about 350 lifeguards to run a fully operational swim season. This year, up to about a week ago, the Parks and Rec Department in Kansas City has only 200 who are qualified. So they need 350. They are short 150 lifeguards. So five pools, Brush Creek, Line Creek, Gorman, Bud Park and Grove Park will be open for swimming this season, along with a couple of water parks. However, the opening is going to be delayed until June 11th.
Well, and that makes me wonder, is there an absolute need to have a lifeguard?
Yes. If you're the city, yes, because of...
I mean, could you make them sign a waiver saying you're swimming at your own risk?
No.
Because, like, apartment pools don't have lifeguards. And they have a gigantic sign that says no lifeguard on duty.
Swim at your own risk, no lifeguard on duty. I think the cities would tell you that is an insurance and liability nightmare. And with the larger public pools where you have toddlers that can get underfoot, you have all ages really, but packed, especially in cities that don't have a lot of public pools, you absolutely have to have a fully staffed lifeguard rotation. In Kansas City, Kansas, they go on to report Parkwood Swimming Pool, KCK's only public pool. Wow. Parkwood Swimming Pool's KCK's only public pool will be open for the first time in 2 years. That opened May 28th. Despite rigorous recruitment efforts and the highest pay in the metro, Kansas City, Kansas Parks and Rec only hired one qualified lifeguard.
Wow.
According to the director of KCK Parks and Rec. One qualified lifeguard. What is going on? Let's go to Patrick in Platte City. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, good.
I just think, you know, being young, I'm 40 right now, and I work for a union. And seeing that minimum wage is just, it needs, obviously, if I was young, there's a lot of places offering like $20 an hour. I think a buddy told me that there's a car wash offering like $21, $22 an hour. I would just hit those places up. I wouldn't even go to a lifeguard or somewhere making $15, $16, $17 an hour. It's just not worth it these days. And even for the union, we need to make more money. It's wild out there.
You think it's pay?
Absolutely, I think it is. I mean, I have a 21-year-old son, and he's going for the more pay, you know, in the welding degree. So it's all about pay.
Patrick,
that's what I think.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily disagree with you. Thank you for the call. Both sides of state line, it turns out, ended up contracting out with Midwest Pools Management to try and help secure the necessary lifeguards to meet the needs of the city pools. But again, in KCK, they were only able to hire one qualified lifeguard. Everything else they had to contract out. It's got to be bigger than pay, because Sam's right. We've been talking about this for 2 years. Is it that the jobs we thought were the cream of the crop when we were teenagers are now looked down upon? I mean, I loved the thought of wearing that red swimsuit and carrying that whistle and sitting up and getting a tan all day long. Now, are you dealing with screaming kids? Yes.
Well, I think Patrick has a really good point, because there is a immense need right now in all industries for workers. So if you're 15 years old and you can go, I don't know, flip burgers at a McDonald's for $17, $18 an hour, you're going to do that long before you get paid $14 an hour to deal with screaming kids.
Man, I don't know, Sam, because if you asked a teenager, would you rather work in a hot kitchen or would you rather go sit by the pool with a whistle?
How much are they paying me?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know.
It's the same reason that we can't find referees. Well, I mean, there's other reasons there, but that's a big part of it, is that referees don't make a whole lot of money, and then they have to deal with angry parents. These teenagers would much rather just go, you know, work for a lawn company or something else where they make a whole lot more money and don't have the hassles.
So they sent Martin Augustine out at Channel 9 out to Longview Beach to talk to those folks out there. And he reports that Jackson County Parks and Rec is hopeful that they have enough staff to keep everything up and running. They talked to people out at Blue Springs Beach. This is not in one area. And there is some reporting that there are certain areas around our city that will not be open until mid-June because there aren't enough lifeguards to sit in those stands. And I mean, how high do you make the pay for a lifeguard? I don't see them paying $25 an hour for a lifeguard. But maybe that's what the kids are demanding. I honestly, I don't even know. The reporting on this goes back to 2021, 2022, when we talk about the shortage. It's just not getting any better. Let's go to JR in Kansas City. Hey, JR.
Hey, Dana.
Hi.
You know, I got to say, I can understand why they're not interested in the pool. I can. Cell phones are expensive. Kids are wanting cars. You and I, when we did this stuff, man, all we had to do was buy an 8-track, and we were happy. We could walk to the pool. We could have our flip-flops on and go to the pool.
Yep.
You know, it was a better time for us. But now things are so expensive. Kids are saving for cars. You know, some may even be saving for college. You know, some may even have a girlfriend and they can't afford to just sit and lounge at the pool all day and get flirted at, oh, which was a bonus, you know. But I understand why nobody wants to be a lifeguard for a kid. Now, is there an age restriction? They have to be teenagers to be lifeguarders, or can we be older?
You absolutely can be older. We had a story in the Stack a few weeks ago, JR, and thank you for the call, that a retiree went back, got recertified, and decided to go be a lifeguard just to make some extra money on the weekends. You know, you're used to looking up there and seeing a 16-year-old. Maybe she's right. You're going to look up there now and see someone in their 60s because that's who is willing to do that work. Let's go to Jeff in Overland Park. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
I just had a kind of a counter, or whatever you want to call it, comment. My son used to be a lifeguard, and he did it for several years. And one of the things that we need to keep in consideration, especially when they talk about mediocre wages and all that, but it's the liability. If you could make $16 an hour as a lifeguard, granted you're sitting in the sun and having a good time, but you're responsible for somebody's life.
Yeah.
And if you can make the same kind of a money flipping burgers with no liability other than to show up, that's got to play into this partly too.
Jeff, you are right about the liability, but I also think the city can't open any of the pools without the staffing, again, because of the liability. Listen to this. Because of the shortage, Jackson County Parks and Rec right now is looking to promptly hire at least 6 to 8 lifeguards, okay? They do typically hire those from 16 to 23 years old. Some recruits are still in college and are looking for summer occupations, of course, but then listen to this sentence. The pay is above entry level at $15 an hour.
Which is not above entry level anymore.
$15, and there maybe lies the problem. $15 an hour. And are the kids going to look at that and go, hard pass?
I mean, that's not worth it for them if they could just go hang out with their friends at the pool. If they don't have an imminent need for money, if they don't want something cool, if their parents will just buy it for them, there's no drive to go get that job.
913-586-7798. You can text us at that number. Sam monitors the text line when Scott's gone. He'll be back on Monday, by the way. Festivus Friday coming up in 15 minutes, brought to you by Greenway Ford. The airing of the grievances is straight ahead. Stick with us. You're listening to Dana and Parks. A couple of stories to pass along. Not looking to make these topics before we head into Festivus Friday, coming your way in about 9 minutes. The United States on Wednesday is proposing the requirement of automatic emergency braking systems on all new passenger cars and light trucks, and set a new performance requirement. It's called AEB. It is one of the most significant safety regulations proposed in recent years. It would basically make your car stop if there was a pedestrian or a car in front of you and you were not paying attention.
It's amazing technology until the sensor
starts going out. Correct. And then all of a sudden you're driving down the highway and your car hard brakes.
I was driving the car actually. It had recently been in a wreck. They took it into the dealership and they repaired everything on it. They found that the sensor was not damaged in the wreck, so they didn't replace the sensor. I was driving this car at 77 miles an hour. And when a car slams on the brakes randomly at 77 miles an hour, It's not a fun thing.
Did you just freak out? I would have to leave the car.
Well, so it disengages when you hit the brake.
Okay.
So it slammed on the brakes. We got down to about 50. Thankfully, there wasn't anybody right behind us.
Yeah, but what happens, Sam, if there is someone right behind you and then they hit you and you're like, I swear I did not just randomly
slam on
the brakes for no reason.
You would have to go into the black box of that car and prove that it slammed on the brakes at that exact time because the sensor tripped something in front of it, even though nothing was in front of you.
All right, so listen to this. The Auto Safety Agency proposes that the rule, if enacted, would save at least 360 lives and reduce injuries by at least 24,000 annually. We know that the number of pedestrians killed in 2021 jumped 13%, and I'm not sure it's gone down since.
Here's a crazy idea. Pay attention while you're driving.
I know. But even if they mandate this, in December, 15 of the 20 giant automakers already equipped at least 95% of their vehicles with AEB.
Oh, yeah. It's standard on most cars already.
Yeah. General Motors has it at 73%. GM says it's going to make it standard on 98% of their vehicles in 2023. The car makers are already, in some respect, doing this anyway.
But even with it as a standard for the automaker, you can get that vehicle without the sensor. If it's mandatory from the NHTSA, then every single new sold car has to have the sensor.
There are other things I would rather have mandated before that sensor.
You mean like backseat detection systems?
Yep. It's the first thing I was going to say. I would much rather have backseat child detection systems, much rather than have a mandated hard brake if the car in front of you stops and you've got your phone buried in your face.
Let's mandate immobilizers so that people can't keep stealing Kias and Hyundais.
Yeah, there are lots of other things we could do before that, but that could be coming your way. Then this story, I think this is from the New York Post. In a new study, researchers at a university that I cannot pronounce have investigated how junk food affects your sleep. Healthy participants consumed an unhealthy diet in randomized order for this study. So normally healthy people did this unhealthy diet, and then they followed their sleep. After the unhealthy diet, the quality of the participants' deep sleep deteriorated compared with those who followed the healthier diet. The results have been published in the journal Obesity. Several studies have shown that, in fact, what we eat is associated with changes in our sleep. However, few studies up to now have investigated how diet itself directly affects sleep. And one way to do that is to have the same participant consume different diets in a randomized order, which is what they did. And sure enough, deep sleep was affected by what the participants ate. Quoting here from one of the study people, what we saw was that the participants slept for the same amount of time when they consumed the two diets. That was the case both while they were following the diets as well as when they had switched to the other unhealthy diet. What we were particularly interested in was the property of their deep sleep. We looked at short, slow wave activity, a measure that can reflect how restorative deep sleep is. And intriguingly, that seemed to go down, your quality of that deep restorative sleep, when the participants had eaten junk food.
Yeah, your heart beats faster because your digestive tract is trying to process all of that junk you just put in your face as you were dozing off. I eat my meals very late, but I also do my best to eat healthy.
And the last study I will pass along that should not surprise anyone, America's most popular artificial sweetener damages our DNA.
Oh, wait, what?
We all use it. Sugar is always made out to be the bad guy, but when it comes to your health, switching to artificial sweeteners might be doing more harm than good. This was out of North Carolina State University. They found a chemical in one of the most widely used artificial sweeteners can, in fact, break up our DNA.
Which one is it?
Sucralose. It's in everything, Sam.
What does it give a brand name?
It's a zero-calorie sweetener that is 600 times sweeter than sugar. Listen to this. Sucralose is used in tens of thousands of food, beverage, and pharmaceutical products worldwide.
Well, this just goes to show that just going for the real stuff is better. Because if you remember, aspartame used to be the big dog, and they figured out that that never leaves your body.
The most frequently encountered form of sucralose, by the way, in the United States, marketed under the brand name Splenda.
Well, isn't that splendid?
We will clear the lines for the airing of the grievances. Festivus Friday, coming your way straight ahead. 913-586-7798. Now is the best time to get in. You can text your grievance to Sam at that same number, 913-586-7798. Festivus Friday, brought to you by Greenway Ford, starts in 6 minutes. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.